In fact, the Hebrew people hated the Ninevites. They were despicable. They were awful. They were bullies. I'm just trying to find my sermon here. There it is. And they did terrible things to the Hebrews. They would capture them, enslave them. They would torture them. They would flay them. They would do everything about them. The Ninevites were sworn enemies of the Hebrew people. And he experienced in so many ways his friends, his family that were killed or tortured by these people, and he wanted nothing to do with these people. So when God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, he says, no way. I'm not going to do this. I hate these people. They're despicable, and I'm going to leave. So he did everything he could to get away as far as he can away from Nineveh. Now, God says, I'm not going to let you go. So he gets on a boat, and suddenly God puts together a storm, okay? And that storm was the reason because God had a plan, and they realized, the men on the boat realized after Jonah told them that this storm is because of me. He didn't care. He wanted to die. Throw me overboard, and you'll be okay. And I'll die, and I'll never have to tell Ninevites, the Nineveh, to tell them the good news of God's love. So he was thrown overboard, and he was dead. He was good at dying. He was so in hatred of the Ninevites, or the Ninevites, that he was willing to die for it. But God had another plan. Brought a big fish in, or big whale in, sucked that Jonah, and we got the rest of the story. And today we're looking at a story of an elder brother who hated his youngest brother, despised him, hated him. Hated what he was doing, took his father's inheritance and left him, and he went out there and he prostituted everything. He lived the life he wanted, everything that his life could give him through the money that was given to him from his father. So the oldest son hates the younger brother. So we're looking at this parable. I think all of us have heard this parable in so many ways. I have used this parable many, many times at memorials. It's a great a parable to come to people who are struggling to figure out what is life about, what is death about, and what is this person called Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives us this perfect parable, a beautiful picture of God, the younger brother, the oldest brother, giving us an understanding of who we are in the presence of God. It's a great parable. It's a story of the young son who left the father. It's a story of the eldest son who despised the younger son and despised the father. The story of trying to live life on your own terms. The story of living with all the legalism and thinking that we can earn our right to be right with God with our goodness. It's a story of God the Father who loves us deeply. It's a story of understanding the people that were living in that time around Jesus Christ. It's a story of a son that was not there. A son that should have been there. A son that should have responded in a way that the other two sons did not. The author changed the prodigal son, the title of it, and call it the prodigal God. And I know some people are concerned about it because we never associate prodigal son as something good. But we'll learn about the word prodigal eventually. But he called God the prodigal God. And we'll learn about that here in a bit. But what it is, it's a picture of sin. You got the younger brother and you got the older brother. Now, they are both people that want wealth and status and things from the father. They didn't want the father. They wanted his things. The younger son took the inheritance and ran off and did life on his own terms and did everything he could with the things that he got from his dad. The older son wanted the same things, but he wanted to do it by earning his righteousness before God, before the father. So the younger God is being bad, insults fathers, rebels, self-indulgent, lover of prostitutes, down in the gutter. The older son being good, keeping him from the father, his goodness, his righteousness. I am right, I am good. Both are alienated by God. Both been using the father to get the things they really long for, which is wealth and status. Both being very, very bad. One escaped God by immorality and irreligion, and one escapes God with morality and religion. Again, the word religion is one of the worst words that we can ever use for our Christian faith. It's one of the worst words. It does not define Christianity in one bit. Being good. Why doesn't the oldest son go to the feast? He says, I've never disobeyed you. How could you? How could you let this person who goes out and whores among all these people waste all his money, and you're willing to give him a robe, a ring, the fatted calf? How could you? I never disobeyed you. There's two kinds of loss, and we're going to be looking at that. And the one thing you'll notice that immediately, what Jesus does before he goes into the parable of the prodigal son, he starts the story with two other parables. Very important to know. The first thing he does, he describes the people that are around him. So you have the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, tax collectors and sinners were despicable people in the eyes of the Pharisees. And how could they? How could they eat with them? Especially eating with together with someone means fellowship. It means getting close. Okay? And so the Pharisees were really, really upset. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to show you a small clip on YouTube. Have you heard about the beautiful TV series called The Chosen? Okay, so we're going to look at a very little clip about Matthew, and what I believe is a great way of understanding how the Jewish people dealt with Matthew, who is Jewish, but a tax collector. Let's go ahead and put that on, Paul, if you can.
In the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're going to throw it all away. Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
Glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, no, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Hey, it's Dallas and the creator
of The Chosen. Well, I don't know about you, but I love that clip. I look at it a couple times, and it speaks to me because that call that God says, I chose you, follow me is God's call. And this is what we hear from Scripture. See, we think that we're looking for God. See, that's what religion is. I seek God. I have this God void, and I seek God. But the irony is that when we seek God, that type of God, normally it's an icon or an idol that speaks to what I believe and justifies my behavior. But God says, no, I seek you. I ask you to follow. And that's what we have in the story right here. The first two stories has to do with a shepherd who loses one sheep, a lamb of 99. Loses that. Now, you need to know that 99 sheep takes a lot to care for. Losing one lamb really is not cost-effective to go finding it. You waste your time, your money, your energy to find a little lamb. And even getting to it, who knows how you're going to get to it and what type of shape it is. So cost-effectively, it is not worth chasing a little lamb. But here we got a picture of God that's willing to chase that little lamb, do whatever he can to find that little lamb. And then he rejoices. The same way one coin was lost with that woman, and she felt such a great need to find the lost coin because of her negligence. And when she found that coin, another picture of God is that they rejoiced. And now we have a picture of the prodigal son. The prodigal son to the elder and elder brother or sister looks very, very differently. Very differently. And they're not good people to be around. They're hard to be around. And there's so many different types of younger son. This theme to morning is this: are we a church that desires to seek the lost? Do we really have a desire to seek the lost? Now, if you remember, the church is not just this corporate place where we call the family, but the church is us. Do we have a desire to truly seek the lost? That's a question we all have to pose to ourselves. Like Noah, a lot of us have certain people groups that we despise. There are different types of people, different sin groups, different ethnic groups, even different politics. And we get around these people and we don't like them. And you go, well, I don't do that. Just our nonverbal communication. I don't even know what 75% of the way that we communicate is by what I do with my face, with my hands, with my body, looking at you. And everyone can know when a person feels disgusted about something, they'll show it. How to respond to the lost? How do we respond with our nonverbal communication? It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. There was a young couple that were Christians and truly loved the Lord. God placed on that couple, on their heart, of a person that they knew in high school that was disgusting. Person who was foul-mouthed, dabbled in recreational drugs and alcohol. He was a sexist. The way he treated women was awful. He was chauvinistic. He was intimidating because he acts like he's a person that knew how tough he was. And the young couple had nothing in common with this person, nothing. But that young couple kept praying for that person. And a young couple kept going to that person. No matter what that person looked like or who he was, they didn't care about his foul language. They didn't care about his political views or the way he talks about certain things. He cared about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ in that person's life. Just like in that parable, the younger son or the younger daughter is different. Is it different? Very different. And we got to get used of the whatever foul mouth that they share with you, whatever they look like. I don't care how many different hairstyles, tattoos, rings, clothes style, whatever it is, ethnic groups. God is leading us to those lost. Do we have a desire to search the lost, to go to the lost? And they're different. Democrats get around Republicans, and you can see the sparks that go there. Republicans get around Democrats, and we throw up the walls and the nonverbal stuff. Liberals get around conservatives, and right there is enemies, there is a division. Can we have a desire for those people that are different for us? Can we be in a position overlooking their political values and going and getting to know them and love them and present the love of God in their lives? White collar against blue collar. You know, there's a dislike, a disinterest. Different ethnic groups, different religions, atheists and agnostics, alcohol, drugs, all of it. God says, there are the lost. Have a desire to seek them, to know them. Because the only way that we get to know the lost is by the church going to them, overlooking all who they are and how they look and how they smell, and we go to them and we say, I care more about your soul than the way and how you act. And I will pray for you, and I will extend you my care, because I am a representative of God the Father. I shine Him through others. God, help me to have a love for the lost. It's a privilege. I've seen so many lives changed. Because guess what? No one wants to come here. There's very few young people that want to come to the church. There's people out there that have been scarred, that have been hurt. There's so many bad things in the media that have been talked about the church that they really don't want to come to this building. Very intimidating. There's symbolic representations of certain things that they don't like. And so God is calling us to go out into the world, the church, and calling us to go to the lost ones, go to that younger son, go to that younger daughter, and just love them. Really love them, care for them, connect with them. Make a relationship with Him. That is God's call for us. God wants us to have that very same love. If you remember in the story, the prodigal son, when the prodigal son came back, was walking back and was going to make his big spiel to his father about how he does not deserve being a father, I'm coming back to the servant. The father did not wait for that young man to come to him. That father ran out to that son, to that daughter. Just ran out. Didn't care. He threw his arms around him, kissed him, loved him, saying, you are back. You squandered all your inheritance. You lived life that was so terrible, despicable, and disgusting, but you're back. I'm going to give you the ring. I'm going to give you the robe. That signifies that you're back in my family and we're going to celebrate. God wants us to celebrate. God wants us to celebrate when a person comes back to the Lord, but He uses us as an instrument of His care and His representation of Him to those people. God, help us to love the lost as a corporate, as a church body. God's always challenging us. How can we as a church body, we have, just as Michelle said this earlier, we have this amazing family. We love each other. We care for each other. We can't wait together. We love, I think all of us really like passing to the peace. There's something about getting together, connecting, touching, and all those things that reminds us of our connectiveness, our closeness. That is a special gift. God says, I want that dynamic to go out into the world, to those places, and allow for you to represent me and have those same type of connections so people can experience that same type of love that happens here. So he gives us challenges to go and be a part of outreach communities, outreach ministries. Are we going out into the world as a church, First Presbyterian Church, connecting with those people that are lost? God is challenging us. What's so beautiful that the vision team got together, and for the last five months, we've been praying, we've been looking, we've been searching, and God has placed us in so many beautiful places in which we can experience the lost. I mean, we want to do it all. And here are a couple places that we're looking at right now. People that truly need, all of them need Jesus Christ, but this is the people group that we're slowly looking at. One of the places that I want to share with you is called SOAP, Street Outreach and Advocacy Program. It's one of the places that we're considering. And let me share with you their website. Our street outreach and advocacy program, SOAP, staffs people dedicated to reaching out to 10 to 21-year-olds who are at high risk of becoming homeless, who are currently homeless, or have run away from home. Our goal is to protect youth from abuse, sexual exploitation, assault, and to help prevent involvement in criminal activity due to their lack of money, support, and resources. We work with the Fairbanks community to ensure no one lives without adequate shelter, food, or critical necessities. Our hope is that each youth we work with understands their valuable as a human, their value as a human being. What we've been told by the people there, that the youth need the church in their life. They need a loving Christian people that come in and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because right now they're floundering. Right now they're struggling with their spirituality. Right now they're struggling with what church means because they don't want to be there. But God is calling us, all of us, to go out into the world and connect with the lost. Don't wait for them to come here. Allow God to lead you through His Holy Spirit to go to those people. Sometimes, I'm going to close with this. Sometimes I end with a benediction, and this is the benediction I like to end once in a while. It says, do not go to church. Don't leave the church by the grace, mercy, and love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Wherever you are, at home, at work, at school, or at play, there is the church of Jesus Christ. This is worship service. We come to it, we leave it. But we are the church. We go out into the world. Wherever we are, that is where the church of Jesus Christ is. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful story. We know stories are so important. We read them. We watch them. We watch them on TV. We watch them. All stories are powerful to us. And you picked us, just like Matthew. You asked us to follow you. And you knew our condition. You knew exactly our condition. But you still chose us. Help us to live this amazing adventure where you lead us by your Holy Spirit to go out into the world and connect with the lost. Help us, God, to have a desire for the lost. In your Son's name. Amen.